Blog Talk Radio.
Food Fun Nation Radio, brought to you by FoodFunNation.com. Chef Sean and Tech Rob bringing you another Food Fun-filled Blog Talk Radio episode. Food Fun Nation, where we celebrate food with you. From the chef-tested recipes to foodie news, restaurant insider info to small talk, we do it all for you. Now pull up a seat to the chef's table and let's dig into this hot and spicy episode live from the chef's studio. Call in at 1-347-677-1646 or live chat with us on the radio page. And go give us a like on our Facebook fan page at Food Fun Nation. We are now on the air with the culinary hosts that know the most. Take it away, guys.
Well, hey, everybody, it's Tech Rob. Hey, Food Nation, it's Tech Rob here. It's the first of my produced shows. Chef Sean wrote the first six that we have hosted, and something that I'm doing on the side with the website is making sure that all the buttons match up with the show titles and stuff so that we can add these new shows and keep the page updated, which I apologize, it's my fault, being the tech of the web page, that it's not up to date as it should be. But anyways, on with the show. As I was doing the buttons, I was coming across the Super Bowl show in season 3 and basically noticed that the 7th show is usually our Super Bowl show, so this is episode 7, so typically this should be the Super Bowl show. And the way that happened was my recording schedule that I had for the first 2 seasons was the first Sunday and the second last Sunday of every month, spreading out our recording time throughout the year, making 22 episodes like a typical TV series and giving us something to do all year long. And that didn't really work well with, I guess, with fun time, and, you know, we need a break, and it's not easy coming up with a show, but this one was easy. And so Chef changed the schedule in season 3 so that we started recording our shows ahead of time and keeping the fact that episode 7 being a Super Bowl show is what we're doing. I knew I wasn't going to read this the way I wrote it. So, anyway, this show is going to be the, I think it's February 2nd, or is it February 4th, I can't remember. And the show that we do on February 2nd will be aired on July 1st, or be recorded on July 1st, but it'll air February. Yeah, it's a big mix-up, but it's fun. And anyways, I'll be getting ready. So anyway, on this day, if it was actually Super Bowl, I'll be getting ready to eat what the chef has in store for us on the good old Super Bowl feast. And I can't wait. 3 months away. Okay, let's get rolling here. And let's get the chef involved so I'm not just talking to myself. Hey, Sean. Do you have any football talk for us? Yeah, that was a bit of an awkward intro. I'm sorry.
Well, we're here. That's all that matters. I am 2-5 in my record this year so far. Trying to think. I think at 1, Philadelphia is at Denver. Yeah, I believe so. Philadelphia is at Denver, and I'm going to go with Philadelphia. They're on a roll, those guys. So that's going to be my 1 pick for this week. Hopefully I get my record up from 2 wins to 3 wins. And, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Super Bowl picks. Why not? Let me see. I got to go to the page here, NFL page. Scrolling here. Give me a second. Get caught up. The teams that are in the divisional round as of now, but it's still early, right? Like, what are most teams are up to, like, seven games by now. Still a lot of football to play, but the ones that are probably going to be in the divisional round as of now, like I said, still lots of football to play. Steelers, Chiefs, Eagles, Vikings. Maddie has picked my daughter has picked the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, to win it all, Super Bowl. And I'm going to go on a whim and with somebody who's never won a Super Bowl. I don't know if the Eagles have won the Super Bowl either. I'm not sure. Probably. But the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, never won a Super Bowl, and they're doing very well this year. So I'm going to go with the Vikings to win it all. Those are the big Super Bowl predictions anyway. See what happens. There's still a lot of wild card rounds going on. Let's see here, AFC, there's Jaguars, Bills, Titans, Patriots. Of course, the Patriots are always in it. Hate them. And the other side, NFC, Rams, Seahawks, Panthers, Saints, and everybody else is in, well, not everybody else, but in the hunt for AFC and NFC. I'll just read quickly the top four so far. Like I said, lots of football to play. Lots of football to play. It's going to change. There's Dolphins, Falcons, Ravens, and Packers. They're the top of the pack in the hunt to try to bump these wild card rounds and divisional rounds out. And good old Giants. They are officially 1-6. Ouch. That hurts. That hurts bad. They had so much potential on paper this year, and it blew up.
How soon do you know that you're out of the running?
I think like pretty much.
When you only
a little
play
bit past,
like
halfway.
Games.
Yeah, right. Pretty much halfway, just over halfway. You might have a chance to make a wild card, maybe. A lot of crap has to go wrong for a lot of teams above you for that to happen. So it's pretty much stick a fork in them, they're done, I would say. For that.
Well, with all the Super Bowls that we've accomplished and went past and through, I was actually trying to think, why can't I figure out this math on how they can figure out playoffs and all that in just one game? When I'm a hockey fan and they play 82 games in a year, and the most exciting hockey is when the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to get the last place, the eighth place, to get into the playoffs. Their last 10 games, they try so hard. And it's like 10 games. It's all a points thing. And you can see their points, like 100-and-something points, and you know they're going to make it, and you know they're out, and they can reach this spot, they can reach that spot. You can see that math when you're watching hockey play out. How do you see that math in football? I don't know how that math works in football.
I'm not sure exactly how they even break it down. I don't even know personally. It's
and now
pretty complicated.
Got odd number of hockey teams. It's like,
oh yeah.
They got wild card spot now too, I guess. Huh. How do you evenly share one trophy against an odd number of teams? When one goes against two, it's the first year. I'm going to watch how this playoff or this NHL playoff runs. And actually, that was one sport I never put into this show. I just thought of that.
Well, we're talking about it now, so you keep talking about it.
So, it's a Super Bowl show, and I thought, well, because it's not Super Bowl yet, I made this show about sports food, including all the sports. And so let's have some food fun and dig in.
I guess this will be, like you were just sort of mentioning at the beginning, just to let everybody know, this will be the only February show, because we only do one, we only post one show in February, so this is it.
Yeah, we do record a show in February, and that show will air July 1st, or I was doing some math, because I was, by doing all the shows on the website, what I've been doing is I've been also tracking, like I got a log of all our shows and the titles and stuff that I'm doing, because I want to put these all on CD and stuff, and maybe we can try to find some way of sharing this show with more people as a prize or whatever, just to say, hey, you know, encapsulate a little bit of all we do. This episode, I think, is like our 93rd episode. We're reaching 100 episodes very soon. And this is our fifth Super Bowl show, not our fifth Super Bowl as fans, obviously. We've been making it a tradition for I can't remember when.
Yeah, a long time. Even before we moved in this house, so like probably 10 years ago, probably.
Yeah, we started when you lived in apartments.
Yeah.
On Arthur Street.
And this year, I'm thinking of going back to old school because we've been mixing it up. Like, I don't like doing the same thing every year, as you know, for the football Super Bowl menu. So this year, we're going back to the basics. We're going pizza, wings, old school football kind of food. Pizza, wings, nachos. We're going back to the basics because it's been a while since we've done that.
Yeah. And I really liked our Super Bowl live show that we did in season 3, where we did our Super Bowl show on episode 7 like we always do. And then on our February show, you posted an extra show. So we had 23 episodes that year, but technically only 22 because that was a free show for everybody because we added it basically to episode 7. So it was at 7B, but recorded on Super Bowl day. Which we will have a recording day for Super Bowl day, but I don't know. I think you got that show. I don't know your schedule and who you're going to post as hosting or script. That's another thing I've been keeping track too of every show. If you hosted it or written by you, so it's produced by Chef, hosted by us. Or if it was written by me, hosted by you, like the A&W show was pretty much when I was late. So that brings on the work drama too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was just about out of work about a month ago. My late got me in trouble again and I was demoted.
That'll do it.
And as of yesterday, well, in this month, as in it's now November, right? So yeah, as of yesterday, I just got my supervisor privileges back, and lots of changes at work, but at the same time, I feel better, and it's all good. But anyways, on with the show here. When was the last time you have gone to a live game, Shani?
Oh, it's been a long time. For anything live, a long time. I can't even guess. Decades.
And I guess you wouldn't remember what you ate at that live game that you don't remember going to. Okay.
Exactly.
Myself,
I'm out on that.
I'm pretty much the same. I refrain from eating when I go to a game or even when I go out just because of the price of things. You know, you go to the game and you're lucky
expensive.
You got enough to buy the ticket price. You're sitting in your seat and you got change in your pockets and you can't buy anything. That's the poor boy life, I guess. I don't eat when I go out. And at the same time, I can't even think of the last ball game I went to. And I'm trying to remember, and I do remember one moment when I was living in Totem Trailer Park, the ballpark just down the road from that, used to host the baseball games that the bars would play. The local bars would do their leagues or whatever, and they would play ball and obviously, their friends and family or whoever wants to watch passerbys or whatever, that's where they played their game. And I just remember sitting in the stands watching some random ball game and eating sunflower seeds from the old silver bag that I used to love those seeds, but I can't remember the name. Now, when I'm watching the game, basically on television at home, I just eat sunflower seeds as a food that I like to eat while I'm watching the game. I also went to a hockey game. Oh, yeah, I did bring up hockey. Look at that. I went to a hockey game just recently because my boss, he had season tickets, I guess, or whatever, but he couldn't go to the game, so he gave his tickets to my other boss, and he couldn't go to the game, and he knew that my kid was a hockey fan, so he asked me if I would want the tickets, and so I said, sure. And I took the ticket thinking, I'm not going to go to no hockey game. But then I thought, what if friends of theirs went to the game or whatever and saw that I didn't use the tickets and stuff? So I thought, I better take my kid to the hockey game. So I took the kid to the hockey game, and yeah, I didn't eat nothing that day either, but I found out that you can have your beers during intermission.
Oh.
So you got like 3 minutes to drink as many beers as you can and then get back to your seat. But now, apparently, the Fort William Gardens allows you to bring beers to your seat. So I wish I would have went in 2017 and not 2000, the year I went. I can't remember what year I went. But, yeah, I've been at my employment for 8 years. I'm glad they kept me after my lates. But, yeah, I got to be good.
Be a good boy.
Yeah, I don't want to get off topic too far. But, yeah, let's give us something to start. All right. And so the summer sports, like baseball, what foods do you expect at a baseball game? Like?
So the same as any game for me, pizza, pogos, anything you could hold easy in your hand. Hand-to-mouth food.
Yeah, I would think the same. I've been thinking of, like, when you watch the TV shows, like... That 70s show, I remember the episode where Red takes, because the kid gets tickets to go to the game and takes his dad to the game because he's a big fan of, I think it was the Packers they were fans of because they live in Wisconsin. And the kid goes and gets himself a shirt and comes back to the seat and he has the wrong team on. That was a fun episode, but yeah, I remember the hot dogs. And that's what, like, he went to the snack bar and it's
the,
basically
the one thing
and hot dogs.
The one thing I remember growing up, my dad used to take me to the gardens to go watch Thunder Bay Twins games, hockey games, the Thunder Bay Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get a hard ice. There was like an ice cream, but it was super hard. I don't know if it was even actually ice cream. It was like already pre like.
No, you like eating an icicle.
It was like put it inside a cone. It was weird. I can't even explain it. It had a weird texture to it, but it tasted okay. They had a weird ice cream thing going on. People out there that used to go to those games would know what I mean. It was really weird ice cream, but
well, yeah, that's what
that's
I was going
the one.
But
one thing I remember.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Like for sure, the memories and. What you see when you watch those shows and stuff, you got that vendor going down the aisle, hot dogs, peanuts, you know. So that's what I think of is hot dogs.
Yeah, definitely.
So I found an article. I can't remember where it came from, but it's pretty much the history of ballpark food. And I found out that I copied and pasted, and I did not know half of what I copied and pasted until I read it, and I think it's pretty informative, and you're up.
Hot dogs, peanuts, and Cracker Jacks. These days, it's hardly surprising to find upscale fare such as sushi and lobster rolls at ballparks across the United States, but that doesn't mean traditional snacks have lost their appeal. When they're rooting for that home team, baseball fans still like their peanuts and their Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks, I love Cracker Jacks. Good stuff.
Yeah,
peanuts and shells. I'm a fan. In ballparks and beyond, Americans consume more than 20 billion hot dogs and 600 million pounds of peanuts each year. And Cracker Jack now sold in bags. I like the boxes. I wish they still had the boxes. Instead of the boxes, it's still available at all 30 major league stadiums. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Hot dogs. The world's first sausage may have been made far back in 64 AD when Emperor Nero Claudius Caesar's cook Gaius stuffed pig intestines with ground meat in a flash of culinary inspiration. After eating the sausage, the emperor is said to have declared, "I've discovered something of great importance." If your favorite ballpark treat is a fresh hot dog overflowing with ketchup, mustard, and sauerkraut. You just might concur. I'm a sauerkraut fan on sausages or smokies. I love sauerkraut. Add
really?
Mustard and mustard and onions. Mustard, onions, and sauerkraut, I'm in.
I can understand mustard, but really, keep the sauerkraut away.
You don't like sauerkraut? Yeah. No.
No. Just the name of it alone.
It's just cabbage. That's all it is.
It smells horrible.
Depends. Depends how well it's done. In the 15th century, the city of Frankfurt spawned the Frankfurter, a spiced and smoked sausage with slightly curved shape. The wiener, a sausage made of pork and beef. I'm a pork fan. I like the pork over the beef. Originated in Vienna, known as German as Wien, in 1805. Throughout the 19th century, the snack that would soon be the hot dog gained a following in America thanks to immigrants from Europe. So what distinguishes a hot dog from a Frankfurter or a wiener? That's where the bun comes in, and exact origins are up for debate. Many hot dog historians credit Antonio Frankenwanger, a St. Louis peddler who offered his customers white gloves along with their piping hot sausages to keep it from burning their hands. Interesting. That's one hot
yeah.
freaking hot dog. The problem was... The problem was with many people walked off with their gloves rather returning them. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that even happened back then.
So you have like a thousand gloves. Just give away gloves and hot dogs.
And profits suffered around 1883. The crash strapped concessionaire's wife came up with an ingenious solution. Long, soft rolls that perfectly fit the sausages. Good call. Dubbed the meat bread combo Red Hots. Other point to Charles Feltman, a German butcher who in 1867 began selling sausages on rolls out of the pie wagon and hauled them up down the sand dunes of Brooklyn's Coney Island. Within a few years, he expanded the business from one lowly push cart into a hot dog empire with immense restaurant, a beer garden, multiple stands. Business was booming until Nathan Handwerker, a bread slicer at Feltman's, broke away to open his own stand in 1916. He undercut his former boss, that's funny, charging half the price per dog, 5 cents instead of 10. Today, Nathan's famous hot dogs are sold more than 20,000 food service and retail outlets across the United States. Since 1916, the original Coney Island location has held an annual hot dog eating contest we've talked about on the show many times. On July 4th, the current record stands at 68 hot dogs in 10 minutes. And did you know Babe Ruth once devoured a dozen hot dogs and 8 bottles of soda between games of a doubleheader? Sounds right. That's something he would do. Americans put away 7 billion hot dogs during peak season between Memorial Day and Labor Day. 10% of annual retail hot dog sales occur during July, known as National Hot Dog Month. In Los Angeles, hot dogs. New York spent more on hot dogs than any other city in the United States, like something like 90 million and 108 million, respectively. A regular hot dog has 250 calories, including the bun, not ketchup, mustard, relish, sauerkraut, or any other toppings. Peanuts, raw, roasted, chilled, or unchilled. What's that?
I was just going to say that hot dogs being associated with baseball and not much hot dogs,
Yeah, for sure. Raw roasted, shelled, or unshelled peanuts have been a classic ballpark snack since the earliest of days of baseball, but their history goes back much further. Spanish conquistadors exploring the New World were first introduced to peanuts in South America, most likely Brazil or Peru. They took the plant back home to Europe and quickly spread to Africa and Asia. In the 1700s, slave traders brought the peanut back across the Atlantic, using it as a cheap food source for African captives. Wow, didn't know that. A handful of commercial farms in the southern United States growing peanuts in the 1800s, mainly for oil and livestock fodder as food, was regarded as something only poor people ate. Oh, I'm poor and I love peanut brittle. that all changed during the Civil War when soldiers on both sides recognized the peanut's value and tasty, convenient, and inexpensive snack. After the war, demand increased rapidly as vendors began selling freshly roasted peanuts on street corners and circuses and, of course, baseball games.
Yep.
In the early 1900s, George Washington Carver, a renowned botanist who was the son of a slave, began researching peanuts, hoping to find alternative cash crops that could lessen the South's dependence on cotton. He worked and led widespread peanut cultivation across the country, especially the South, and earned the reputation Father American industry. I'm not sure. Do you want me to still go on all this, or do you want to fit in your...
I wanted to get Cracker Jacks in there because, like, you know that song, Peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and, you know, so that's what I wanted. But, yeah, the baseball food, that was pretty basic. So, yeah. I had the, I found a hit way to make stadium-style hot dogs at home, which is basically why, I want to fit this in here for sure. As the official hot dog of Major League Baseball, we couldn't be more excited for the start of a season and those delicious stadium franks, of course, for decades. The Nathan's famous original, as Sean just read, has been the official hot dog of many teams around the league. Sure, you can enjoy the classic experience of Nathan's hot dog at the ball game while cheering on your favorite team, which mine would be the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if Sean has a... Do you have a favorite baseball team?
Baseball,
are you going to be Canadian
Jays,
and say... yeah, for sure. Go Jays. Here's how to achieve the big league perfection. The perfect stadium-style hot dog ingredients. These measurements will serve one family for bigger get-togethers, double or triple the recipe. One pack of Nathan's beef franks, and I would assume, if you can't find that, that would assume that's just one dozen hot dogs. They don't have to be the brand name. One pack of fresh hot dog buns. Of course, you're going to get 8 buns and 12 dogs, but now it's 2017. You can actually get 12 buns. One tablespoon of butter, tin foil, your trusty skillet, your favorite condiments like sauerkraut, mustard, ketchup, and relish. Directions for the perfectly crisp dog. Fill a cast iron skillet or stovetop grill pan with enough water to barely cover the bottom of the pan and steam until the water boils off completely. Give your steamed hot dogs an extra rich and flavorful crisp by adding a pat or two of butter and pan frying them until the skin begins to blister. Grab the tongs and plop your newly steamed pan fried hot dogs onto a fresh fluffy bun. Immediately wrap them in tin foil and place them back in the pan. Turn the heat to low, cover for about 2 minutes and let them steam. Soften the bun and perfect stadium style hot dog. Now for the
steam bun.
Yeah, I think that's where it is. It's steaming the bun. And that's how you steam the bun. And then obviously your hot dog is done. After 2 minutes, try your tangy New York sauerkraut or whatever condiments you want. And that's up to you.
There's a pro tip for maximum home run flavor. Try pan frying your hot dogs instead of boiling them. Isn't that what we just did? And to keep all the juicy flavor inside.
Yep.
There was a
and
list,
all the time.
But it's a short list, but that's okay. I also thought football. Well, it's about football after all, right? And Super Bowl. We've covered that at the beginning. Oh, I put the end of the show at the beginning just in case we ran out of time or didn't.
We're out of time.
Show. Yeah. I thought we were going to have a slow show, so I had some fill at the end there. Okay. As the show chef likes to say, we celebrate food with you. Sean, you can say your goodbyes and the show.
Adios, my food amigos. See you all next week with my solo show. And I don't know what that is yet, so I can't tell you. Bye, everybody.
We hope all of our culinary food fun has you soul satisfied. Until next time, with a few laughs delivered with a feel-good guarantee. Or this one is free on us. Food Fun Nation Radio. We celebrate food with you.